Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Short-handed, shoots, and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! 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 Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Raby.
Patrick lines up against a longtime competitor that goes back to Pacioretty's days in Montreal and now with Vegas. And Bob Bugner, of course, starting Marleau to open the game. And we are underway from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And Patrick Marleau is now the all-time record holder in games played in the history of the National Hockey League.
So many emotions going through your head. You start talking to people that you've played with in the past, and there's tons of stories that come up. Yeah, the emotional roller coaster was definitely a long ride, and I'm very, very grateful for and blessed that that was able to do this, and with all the support I've had over my career, it's something I'll never forget.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, I mean, what an incredible day yesterday was. I, for one, was not prepared for that to be as wide-ranging of an emotional day as it turned into. And it just really hammered home just how important Patrick Marleau is for the San Jose Sharks community, the hockey community, just everything. I mean, you saw the way that all these guys were reacting. So many guys, you know, brought to tears. People just reacting to what he has meant to them and their careers. And then Patrick Marleau himself, he is one of the classiest individuals in the history of sports. He's not a guy who is into himself. He's not a guy who's into his own personal accomplishments. And to see him just so choked up with emotion, shedding tears over what people are doing to recognize his efforts and everything he's done, it's a special moment. It's something that we all got to witness in terms of history that we'll likely never see again. I mean, we always say that a record is never going to be broken, that we'll never see it again in our lifetime. Eventually, somebody comes along and they do break it. And I don't know if that is going to be the case with this one, because it seems so far out there. It seems so wild to think of another player coming around and playing this many games. And that's what really got me thinking yesterday, is I tried to think about what this really means. I tried to think about what the greater context is when we think about Patrick Marleau being the all-time games leader or games played leader in the history of the NHL. And I don't think this is me being profound or particularly intelligent, but the only real understanding that I could come to when I'm trying to wrap my head around everything that he's done is that Patrick Marleau is now literally living history in terms of the NHL. When you look at Patrick Marleau, there is no one that has played more games. There is no one that has been in this game day in, day out, and given their heart and soul to the hockey in the same way that Patrick Marleau has. And I'm not saying that in a way to negate the efforts of anyone that has come before him. But now when you literally look at the number of games where Patrick Marleau has gotten his mind ready, has gotten his body ready, has gotten his emotions ready, has gotten everything ready for a game, no one has done it more than Patrick Marleau. And that's why now when you get to see him at SAP Center, or if you're any one of those fans who's been, you know, just brave enough to go out there on the road and see these games, whether it's been in Vegas or, you know, any of the other games where we've seen you and Teal at opposing arenas over the course of this year in particular, you're looking at a living legend, a living piece of history, a guy who means something unique to the NHL that no one has before him. And again, that's not to take anything away from a Gordie Howe or any of the other names that he's passed on this journey to playing the most games of all time. But Patrick Marleau has now played the most. There are going to be a lot of aspects of the legacy of Patrick Marleau and what he's done over the course of his career, but this one is going to be unique for him. this is the one thing that he's going to be able to say that he did that no one else did. And you don't always know when you're going to see history in sports. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in any given game when you turned on TV, turned on the radio, show up at the arena. Anything could happen at any moment. But when you have a slow march towards history like Patrick Marleau has had, when it's just showing up day in, day out, it's not sexy, it's not flashy, it's not appealing, it's just a testament to your love for the game. And that's the other big takeaway from this, is that Patrick Marleau, the way he feels about the game, the way he reacts to the game, the way that he prepares and keeps his body ready, has been so willing to go day after day, year after year, decade after decade. That's love. That's not showing up for a paycheck. That's not just showing up for a chance to win the Stanley Cup. That is embracing every moment and every game and every opportunity to get out there on the ice. And yes, Patrick does a job and he's been compensated well for it over the course of his career. And of course, he wants to win the Stanley Cup and lift that and, you know, get to the top of the mountain in a way that so few people over the course of their NHL careers are ever able to do. And of course, those are motivating factors. I would never claim otherwise. But to show up every day, to just play and play and play and skate and skate and skate and look like he is going to go forever and look like he just embraces every single moment, it doesn't happen by accident. I mean, that doesn't happen unless you have a true appreciation and understanding of the game that's so rare and unique in a sport that sees so many great players. And the other aspect of this was that it made me reflect on comments that were made years ago questioning the heart of Patrick Marleau. And I think we can all remember that. And, you know, I get along with Jeremy Roenick and I don't hold it against him personally or anything like that. And, I've done several interviews with him and I know that he's a TV personality and he's an entertainer and he's trying to get people to pay attention to him. But it brings into light the absurdity of questioning the heart of Patrick Marleau, right? At this point, I don't think there's anybody who does have more heart, who does have any more love or commitment or passion or desire, because you play that long, you're going to go through a gamut of emotions that would beat a normal man down or even an NHL veteran down to climb to the top of the mountain and not get that Stanley Cup win. To be through the Sharks with the good times, the great times, the bad times, he's seen it all. And the grind and wear and tear on a player's emotional psyche in terms of how you prepare yourself day after day, that takes a toll. And Patrick Marleau has been able to deal with all those hardships, with all those ups and downs, with all those wild swings of emotion, because he does have such an incredible heart, because he does have such an incredible passion for the game. The comparisons that were made last night to different athletes, you know, like Cal Ripken Jr. and his Ironman streak that he did in baseball, which of course Patrick Marleau is doing somewhat similarly here in hockey. You know, the comparison of, you know, him being mostly an even-keeled guy because he doesn't express those emotions so often. This was a moment where you got to see those emotions come to the surface, and Patrick Marleau has done a remarkable job over the course of his career to hide those emotions. And I don't mean hide them because he was afraid of them, but because of what he has to present on the ice. He has to keep those emotions in check to be able to come back day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and now decade after decade. He can't get caught up in the emotion of each game. He can't get caught up in the emotion of each win or each loss. He has to prepare himself to try and come out and win each game because that's what it takes. And I have no problem with guys expressing emotion. I have no problem with guys shedding tears. I have no problem with guys celebrating. The emotional aspect of sports is one of the reasons that we all enjoy it so much. However, for an athlete, I think you do have to keep things in check to a certain extent, because if you allow your emotions to take over, I mean, it would kill you. It would drain you. I mean, if you allowed every game, if you showed what every loss and what every win meant to you, you wouldn't have anything left. You'd be spent after a year. But I think with Patty, because he did become Mr. San Jose and because he was part of so many great teams, the weight of expectations, the weight of being one of the primary faces of the organization, he was able to express all that. He was able to express all of his emotions that he's had wrapped up in his career and being a San Jose Shark and to what the game means to him. And he doesn't want the attention. He just wants to go out there and play hockey. And that's why he's been able to persevere for so long. Yes, he was blessed with an incredible physical skill set and the ability to skate that is, unique that is once in a generation, maybe even more than that, maybe even just once in the history of hockey. But that's what it takes. You have to be uniquely physically gifted. You have to have a unique love for the game. You have to have a unique dedication. You have to have a unique physical skill set. You have to have a unique everything. Patrick Marleau is undeniably unique. And we've all been able to see that over the course of his career and to watch it up close and personal. And we're lucky. We're lucky to see somebody who is this unique, because you don't have this everywhere. There are always guys that mean something different or something special to a franchise, right? Every team has those guys. But Patrick Marleau's been doing this since 1997. We're talking about a quarter century of hockey where pretty much every time you turned on a Sharks game, you were going to see Patrick Marleau. I mean, again, when his career started, I was 15 years old and a freshman in high school, and I thought it was cool because he was almost about the same age as me. Or I knew guys who were seniors who were friends of my brother who were that same age. And my kids, who are 7 and 5 years old today, I was closer to them in age by far than I am to the dad I am now at 38 years old. And they're lucky enough that every time they turn on a game, they get to see Patrick Marleau skating and skating and skating. And that takes me back to the history aspect of this, because nobody has played more games than Patrick Marleau. He has played against, what they say, 33% or 37% of all players that have ever played in the history of the NHL that they've, you know, gone on the ice with or against Patrick Marleau. Even now, when I try to wrap my head around all the numbers and all the history that has been presented to us and my own assessment of him being living history, I don't think that I quite understand it just yet. I'll probably understand it that much more when I'm 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 and I have that much more history of the NHL to compare it to. And I think Patty acknowledged that it's going to take a while for it to sink in for him as well. It's probably going to take some time after his career for him to really understand what it means to the history of the game and to San Jose fans and to the organization and to himself and his own legacy. Even in the moment, as we're all presented with all this information, it still takes a while for it to truly sink in, because it's probably going to take until this record is stood for 5, 10, 20 years, or it's going to take until however long it is till someone else who's been in the NHL for a super long time and they don't come close to this. When we're in another generation, when we're in 2040. But what a special night and what an incredible moment for Patrick Marleau, his family, and all of his teammates, his coaches, everybody who's part of the Sharks as a fan, who works for the organization. I mean, they've all been with Patrick Marleau through this journey to an extent. You know, he doesn't do this without the fans cheering him on. He doesn't do this without the people enabling him to have this great career, the trainers and the physical therapists and, you know, the equipment guys and everybody. People laugh at that old expression of it takes a village that, you know, I think was Hillary Clinton threw out there in the 90s, and people kind of mocked it. But this doesn't just mean something to San Jose or the Sharks or California or the United States. It means something to Canada and Saskatchewan. And I'm sure there are fans of hockey who are in Sweden or who are in Finland or in Russia, all over the world. These people are all looking at this and thinking about how it's impacted them or how they have had a chance to play against or play with or coach or any sort of interaction or impact on or from Patrick Marleau. Hockey is a global game, and Patty has had his impact felt now globally. He is going to be one of those figures that is talked about forever in the game of hockey. And I don't think any of us can really wrap our heads around forever. All we can do is look at the here and now and try and make sense of what he's done up to this point, and that is play more games than anyone else. And it's so rare in life that you get such a feel-good moment for everyone involved. Think about Las Vegas. Think about the Golden Knights. Think about how the rivalry exists between those two teams and what we saw last night. Complete and utter respect from their organization, from their fan base, and from their players on the ice. Saluting Patrick Marleau, cheering Patrick Marleau. And I don't want that rivalry to go away from Las Vegas, but it does remind you that it's a rivalry that should exist on the ice and only on the ice. When they play each other, they are the enemy. But in the greater context of life and the NHL, when they were given an opportunity to honor one of the great figures and one of the great moments in the history of the game, they went above and beyond. And they deserve a lot of credit for that. And it was just fascinating to watch these other great players in the NHL many of whom I'm sure were growing up watching Patty Marlowe doing his thing and looked at him and saw the way that he skated and saw the way that he performed. I'm sure it's that way all around the NHL. And that's why you've seen guys after games coming up to Patrick Marlowe and showing their appreciation, not just in Vegas, but other games around the league. You've had these other players come up and pay their respects to Patty. And after the game last night, you saw Patty and Marc-Andre Fleury have a little bit of a moment that was longer than what he had with everybody else. And he said that that was because that Fleury had been around for so long as well, and he was climbing up the all-time wins list. I mean, this is just such an incredible moment of appreciation for the game, where Patty is showing his appreciation for the game and for other players. And other players are showing their appreciation for him. And there are just so many different takeaways from this, whether it's about the love of the game or whether it's the way that Patty conducts himself or how he's been appreciated around the league or how other players have been paying their respects or the way that he's prepared himself over the years. It's all wrapped up in this history that is Patrick Marlowe now. And again, I go back to my greater takeaway with regards to all of this, and that is that Patrick Marlowe is living history. He has been playing in the NHL for roughly a quarter of a century. He has played with or against essentially one third of all the players who have ever played in the history of the NHL. And he's the perfect representative for that. He's humble. He's grounded. He's hardworking. He appreciates what he's able to do. When watching Patty speak of the game and express his love for the game, it goes beyond love and respect. To me, there's a reverence in his voice that shows to me that Patty maybe understands how much he is hockey. He might not understand that he is such an iconic or historic figure as of yet, but his reality, the opportunities he's been afforded, the life he's been able to live, it's all due to hockey. And I think that's probably what he was able to come to grips with last night and the last couple of days, why he's been so emotional. It was a forced reflection of what he is meant to the game of hockey and what the game of hockey is meant to him. And I think a lot of players aren't able to do that forced reflection until their career comes to an end. But Patty has been lucky enough in this instance to have to look at it all, to see all the names he's played against, to take all these text messages, these phone calls, these specials, these interviews. And what's crazy out of that is that a guy who loves hockey as much as anyone ever has or ever will, he might now love and respect it and appreciate it that much more. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to get into last night's game. You're on Morning Tide.
Coors Light wants to help you catch a Sharks game from the best seats in the house. Just share a photo of your Sharks at-home game setup to sjsharks.com/homeice for a chance to win Coors Light Silver Seats tickets, Sharks gear, and more. Winners will be chosen weekly. So post a pic showing how you watch the Sharks to sjsharks.com/homeice today. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Must be 21 or older. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Well, this is a big one because this could clinch it. Here comes Stevenson for Vegas, shoots high and wide. So the Sharks still have a shot. The Sharks must score here. San Jose shot first. Chandler Stevenson just tried to go just under the crossbar, but he put it just over. And who's going to do it? It's Captain Logan Couture, who can keep the Sharks' hopes alive here. He stick handles in. Logan moving, waiting, shooting. Save made by Leonard. Vegas will win the game by the score of 3-2 in a shootout, but the Sharks will get an important point in the standings.
There was a lot of emotion in this game, and there was a lot on the line, and we wanted to make sure that we went out and honored Patty in the best way we could, and that was by playing hard as a team. And I think we did that. I think that they came, they pushed, they swarmed us for a bit. We responded. We had chances to win this hockey game, and especially in overtime, both teams had chances. So it was a hard fought game, and we found a way to get a point, and I think we're starting to get things back on track. There's some work to do, but all in all, the game was something bigger than just about the point or the win. It was a great night to be a part of.
Welcome back, everyone. Yeah, that was a tough one for the Sharks to lose last night, but you feel overall that it was a step in the right direction and a much better effort than we had seen in those last few games and really over the last couple of weeks. The Sharks fall by a final of 3-2 in the shootout, but The other thing to pay attention to is that the Wild beat the Coyotes. And if you do look at the standings right now, the Sharks, even though it has not looked good as of late, they are still only 3 points back of St. Louis, who is in fifth place, and 4 points back of Arizona, who are in fourth place. Now, Arizona does have one more game played than the Sharks, so the Sharks have a game in hand on them, but St. Louis has two games in hand on the Sharks and three on Arizona, so that obviously plays into everything overall, but for the Sharks right now, I mean, it's not over. That's the thing that I keep on coming back to, and I'm hoping that the effort that they put forth last night carries over into Wednesday night's game against Las Vegas, and hopefully they will just be able to continue to have steps in the right direction, because obviously now it's been six straight games without a win. Yeah, it was an overtime loss, so they picked up a point, and that's definitely going to help them. But at the same time, you need to get a win. And I know that it's looking less and less likely for the team to get into the playoffs, but it's still not over, and nobody really wants to take it. I mean, Arizona sitting on a loss. St. Louis sitting on two straight losses. That's not making the fact that the Sharks picked up a point last night really hurt that much less, but at the same time, it's making it overall feel like it's not over, and there's still a chance for the Sharks to give themselves an opportunity if they can play better down the stretch, and last night they ultimately played better. That was my ultimate takeaway, especially when there was so much going on, so much emotion, so much just overall hockey beyond the individual game. But you did see a greater effort. You did see the team stepping up to the moment and giving Vegas quite a fight, and I appreciate that because Vegas has been the hottest team in the NHL as of late. They have now won seven games in a row. The Sharks, on the other hand, had been one of the coldest, you know, coming into this with five straight losses, and now you make it six straight losses. But you appreciate that individual efforts were better, right? Like Martin Jones had a good game. He made some big stops. Looked more like the Martin Jones that we had seen when the Sharks were playing much better hockey. And I think that's because defensively, the Sharks were putting him in overall a much better situation. He also had some great individual performances. Mario Ferraro clearing pucks off the line and saving the game. I mean, that was an incredible play in and of itself. You had some breakaways. Patty Marleau had a breakaway. You had a couple of shots off the post or the crossbar. You know, Logan Couture talked about it. He missed an empty net, but you would like to be in games as opposed to the way it had been going for the Sharks, where they were getting blown out or giving up goal after goal after goal. You know, my one problem with last night is just too many trips to the box. I mean, you got to be careful with penalties in a game like Las Vegas, even if their power play is not that great. And I know I think they were ranked 23rd in the NHL coming into this game. But Vegas, if they don't get you on the power play, the effort you expend on the kill is going to catch up with you, and it's going to make it that much harder for you to continue to stop them. And they punish mistakes, and they were able to get those power play goals, and that was a big difference for this game. Overall, though, the big takeaway is that the Sharks played better. Logan Couture was asked after the game if this is something they can keep with them, momentum going into Wednesday and beyond.
I mean, we have to. There's no excuse to play like we have the last couple of weeks. And, you know, if we put our best effort like we did tonight and play hard and, you know, you don't find a way to win, you can definitely be satisfied as a group. And the coaching staff, I believe, will be satisfied as well. And, you know, some nights the balances just don't go your way. I mean, tonight it didn't. We had posts and wide open nets and, you know, chances to win in overtime. You know, we can live with an effort like we had tonight. The efforts the last little while, we definitely can't live with, and we weren't happy with the way that we performed, but tonight was much better.
That's the captain, who also talked about the team just putting forth an inspired response with regards to the game and Patty's special day.
Yeah, I thought we played hard. I thought, you know, it was one of our better games in a while. You know, it's emotional right now because we wanted to win so bad for him, and we feel like we let him down, not finding a way there to get the 2 points, but proud of the way we battled for him. And he said that after the game, he was proud of it. So feel good leaving the rink.
I mean, that's the amazing thing to hear out of this, is that it wasn't just the emotion from Patty. It was the emotion from Bob Bugner. It was the emotion from Logan Couture. It was the emotion from Patty Marleau. It was Drew Remenda on the broadcast. It was a special night, and it was unfortunate that the Sharks were not able to walk away with a win for Patty, but I don't think Patrick Marleau is walking away thinking that the team has let him down in any way, shape, or form. I don't think he's probably been any more proud of any of his teammates. But I also think that the Sharks, looking at their effort, looking at the competition, looking at the greater emotional context of the day, again, we don't like moral victories around here. I don't view that as a moral victory. I just think that given the circumstances, the Sharks put forth a really good effort against a really good team, came up a little bit short, and found maybe some momentum in their game that they hopefully can bring with them into Wednesday night against Vegas. And head coach Bob Bugner acknowledged that it was a once-in-a-lifetime type night.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I mentioned this earlier that the game was, you know, there was something bigger on the line than the 2 points, but, you know, 2 points for our team in the position we are huge. But it would have been such a perfect night to see, you know, Patty, he had some jump and he had a breakaway during the game. He had a, you know, obviously out in a shootout, he had some overtime. It would have been nice to see him, you know, put one in, and it would have been the perfect story. But I think everything went as planned, and you know, I'm happy with the team's effort, and that's a highly, highly skilled team and the hottest team in the NHL and maybe the number one team in the NHL. So it was, you know, we'll take that point, and it could have easily been two, and you know, and move on.
You know, and Bugner also talked about just the overall emotional aspect of the night and keeping his own emotions in check.
You know, it spent a little bit drained. It was fun. I will say this, and you know, it was the most fun game this year to be part of, and I enjoyed every second of it. I mean, you know, I was asking Patty for things, you know, getting things signed, and you know, my son was calling, and he already had his name put on Patty's sweatshirt that we wore this morning. And so it's a big deal, and just to be a part of it. And, you know, I found myself, you know, getting a little teary-eyed and choked up when Patty started crying on the ice and looking up at his family in the stands. And, you know, I played against this guy. I've known him for a lot of years, and as a competitor and competing against him and now coaching with him. And, you know, it's really, really cool to be a part of. It's an honor, you know, and I love that some of our young guys that are the future of this organization got to be a part of it and witness that. And it's an important memory these guys are going to take on for the rest of their lives.
A younger guy like Noah Gregor.
Yeah, I do like him on the wing. I think that he's adjusted his game a little bit. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, he came out of camp as a centerman. And, you know, then he went to Barracuda, and we let him play wing there for a while to try and, you know, find his game. And it looks like he has. He was their best player many nights down there. And that's what development's all about. It's you know, tough to develop a guy up here if you're not going to, you know, play him. And Noah plays well with Cooch and Kaner. And I think that, you know, his defensive, you know, his details of his game, that was really what he needed to work on when he went down. It looks like he has, and I think what he does is really allow us to throw some speed on that top line, but also spread some of our depth out. And you saw Gambrell playing with Timo and LeBanc, and they had a good night. So, you know, I like him in that spot right now, and you know, as any young guy, he's just got to keep earning it and keep getting better every day.
And of course, Bugner was pleased with his team's effort against one of the best teams in the NHL. But when I was listening to Bugner talk in the post game, you could just hear a little bit more of an appreciation in his voice for the game of hockey. It was, in many senses, a love fest with what we saw last night and the celebration of Patrick Marleau. But sometimes an outside or an external thing like this, because it was about so much more than just one individual game or where the Sharks are on this year in this individual season. Sometimes something like this can maybe make these guys look big picture, see things from beyond the immediate game in, game out, where they are on the standings. And you just hope that the Sharks are able to take this with them going forward in terms of maybe understanding that it is just one game, or it is just one bad shift, or it is just one bad period or a bad pass, or just look at things in the bigger sense of what the game is and how they relate to it and what their overall place is right now, because you can find different ways for motivation. You can find different ways to kind of reset your mentals. And I think that the Sharks were very much in need of a mental reset because they were having these mini collapses. I mean, the two games against Minnesota, 3 goals in 72 seconds the night after you give up 2 in 65, that's because there's some heaviness weighing on you, that you're taking previous losses with you, that you're taking previous poor performances or performances that weren't up to your own snuff into that next game. Hopefully now a night like last night allows the Sharks to kind of flip their paradigm and just take it one step at a time. And Patty weighed in on the team, not too focused on the loss.
I was able to talk after the game, and I was, what's the right word? I was very, yeah, well, I don't know, floored or pleased or what the right word is, but I was genuinely thankful that they put in the effort they did tonight, and it was super special. I know everybody was trying to give it their all and to get those 2 points tonight, and you know, you can go home and look yourself in the mirror and knowing that everybody did that and be okay with the outcome. Obviously, you'd like the 2 points and the win, but there was no shortage of effort or compete out there on our part.
And some games just require greater context when it comes to winning and losing, and this was one of those games. This was more than just a win or loss against Vegas. This was celebrating one of the most monumental nights in the history of the NHL and in the history of hockey. And Patrick Marleau has now played more games than anyone else. And that individual accomplishment for Patrick Marleau, who is not into himself or his individual accomplishments, that was bigger than one individual game. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. We will talk on Thursday morning after Game 2 against Las Vegas. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Patty, what keeps you coming to the rink?
I just love it. There's nothing else like it.